You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Billy, why are you laughing uproariously up there? What is the news bulletin that is making you roar with laughter through a soundproof glass in a way I can hear?
Well, Dan, we just had breaking news in the association, and I had to double check to make sure that this was real because it's on Twitter and then there's blue check marks, but you never know what's what anymore, right? So this is according to Shams. And I had to double check.
Shams. It's Shams, right?
It's a fine. Shams, Shams, tomato, okay. Tomato.
Yeah, we're okay. Friends. Yeah. Anyway, So here's the report. Sources. Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James in attempts to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving is a free agent this offseason.
He's not even part of Dallas. He's a free agent, too.
Who does he think he is?
that is about how you imagine that would probably go there. I'm very excited because guests that have been 3 years in the making, put up the video for people watching on video, please, video department. Stugatz, look at this here. We've got a couple of kayakers who I don't even know where this is, but we will get to the questions in a segment or two, are just all around, in the water. There are a bunch of people in the water, and a whale breaches the water in search of eating some plankton or whatever it is that they are meant to eat. And
whatever's in their way, Dan.
Well, I have feared this for a long time, ending up in a whale's mouth because it mistakes something, and then all of a sudden you got a boat or a canoe or a kayak and people in a whale's mouth.
I thought you meant eating kayakers.
It's almost as jarring for like the guy who's just doing that standing paddleboarding, yeah, like 50 yards away, and he's just like, oh no.
It's jarring for everybody because you might be next and you don't know what is happening with the sea, especially now that in Spain, I want to talk to McGill about this tomorrow. In Spain, the orcas are just attacking boats now because they're vengeant about, like, you guys have destroyed the earth and we don't like your boats.
Or they're just dumb fish who think
those are not dumb fish. Chris Cody, don't ever say that again. The apex predator of the planet right there. What are you just saying?
Also, they're not fish.
I'm pretty sure that they always... They're not sitting there like, oh, there's a boat. These things.
You have no idea what
they're killing our oceans. Let's go send them a message. No, they're like, oh, there's something shiny up there. Let me go eat.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the story is that a boat hit the mother of one of these pods, and since then, this group has been seeking vengeance on ships.
Wow.
How could we possibly?
It's like a movie.
It's like a generational
drama.
It's
like a movie incoming for sure. Yeah.
Elephants can do stuff like that. We don't know how much the animals know. None of us know how much the dolphins, for example, are talking with all those squeaks, what it is that they're saying to each other.
Kind of rooting for the animals.
The dolphins are super horny as well.
That is true.
I don't know what they're saying. And the orcas are definitely. And we'll get to this with Ron McGill tomorrow. But put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Are the orcas seeking vengeance for past human crimes, destroying the earth?
What do you have this whale saying below the water?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're just like, vengeance.
It's a learned trait. No, it's a learned trait because they saw one of them do it, and now the rest of them are like, oh, we're going to do that too.
Right, exactly. Yep. That's more logical than, I don't like what they're doing to our oceans. Let's get them.
Well, no, that part, that was editorialized from Dan.
He's not saying they're speaking English, Chris.
We're doing journalism.
They have their own way of communicating. That's all.
They didn't watch An Inconvenient Truth down there?
They're stupid fish. That's what they're doing.
Mammals.
I think they did on Netflix. They all share a password.
It's going to cost them soon.
So before we go any further in the show, Stugatz, I just want to play this Richard Jefferson sound again so that people understand that, yes, it's human to fear and that bravery is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to conquer fear. When J.J. Redick tells us about the quote, the man in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
About what it is that the athlete endures or the entertainer or the person who's a leader who's courageous versus what it costs the critic to just not be that person and stand outside the arena and just condemn and criticize the weakness of a Duncan Robinson or whomever it is that fails, because most of them are going to fail. One of them's going to get to win. and Richard Jefferson told you when Kyrie Irving was making one of the best shots in the history of the sport that made him think to himself, LeBron James will one day want to join me in Dallas.
That's so ridiculous. Is that real? Like, he actually thinks, like, you know what? Yeah, LeBron, said, it ended great the first time. Maybe he'll want to come to Dallas.
What do you mean, is it real? It's Kyrie. Of course it's real. Like, you can't see Kyrie doing that?
It seems absurd, Stugatz.
It is absurd because he's absurd.
I mean, you're acting as I'm unsurprised.
I'm not surprised that Kyrie wants LeBron to come to him rather than Kyrie go to LeBron. Like, no, I'm not surprised by the arrogance of Kyrie Irving to think that LeBron would actually entertain that.
That's Shams laugh when
that's
he was
Shams,
that.
That's Shams writing comedy. That's Shams trying to make evolve as an insider into also a comedian. Like, wait till I throw this at the audience. Wait, they're all going to laugh the way Billy did, and there will be one guy out there who's not surprised. It'll be the know-it-all Stugatz.
He should do it in an accent. That's our trick.
He had to text back to his source, like, come on.
Come on.
Really?
Come on.
Are you guys screwing with me here?
Right. And then the text back is, it's Kyrie.
Right.
He also asked LeBron if he'd want to play a season abroad with him in Turkey. Because why not? Because it's Kyrie and whatever. He wants to see the world. But let's
go
play.
See it already.
One of the biggest shots in the history of the sport, and gave Kyrie the courage to be like, I don't need LeBron anymore. I'm going on my own travels. And next to it, just adjacent, because that's where the pressure is on 1 and 2 and 3, not on Richard Jefferson. But Richard Jefferson's a champion, and listen to how scared he was. Poop yourself scared on the court. And this is a clash between teams, because you mentioned the Orca and some of the places that the Orca is just not smart. Richard Jefferson knows a great deal and thinks a great deal, and that thinking is a hindrance. But sometimes not thinking is also a hindrance, because the last time, or one of the times those two teams played, J.R. Smith during a finals simply forgot the score. Simply forgot the entire score because people get scared in these circumstances. And here's Richard Jefferson articulating it.
I'm sitting on the bench watching the play, and I see the fast break, and I was like, oh, and all of a sudden, because I'm watching the head of the play, and this is not an exaggeration, I'm watching this thing happening, and all of a sudden I see a black blur go out of nowhere. And I was like, holy, he just blocked that. And I was like, oh shit, we have a chance. And so we make a timeout, we make a sub, I check into the game. And at first, I'm in the strong side corner where Kyrie shot the ball. So Bron clears me out. And I was like, good, because I want no part of this shit, right? So they clear me out. They take me to the other, I go to the other corner, right? And so my thing in the corner, I'm like, okay, well, when this shot goes up, go for the offensive rebound. If you don't think you get it, you got to bust your ass back. Like, that's my process. Like, I tell you, I'm thinking all this stuff and what I need to do. Shot goes up, and I just stand there. I don't go offensive rebound. I don't get back. I'm just like, oh, he's shooting a three. Oh shit, that went in. Like again, these are the same reactions that fans have and that the media has. That's the same reaction we have. Like, I see Kyrie Irving dribbling over there, and I'm like, okay, Kai. I was like, first of all, they cleared me out, and I was like, thank God, because if my man went to go double and they threw the ball, I don't know what the fuck I was gonna do. I might have made a shot, I might have dunked it, I might have dribbled off my foot. I don't know. That finals to me was the best finals, you know, that I'd ever seen in my life.
Have you heard, Stugatz, of when people have concussions sometimes in sports? They keep playing just because they've practiced stuff so much. There's muscle memory. They have no idea where they are, but they just keep playing and sometimes have success that way. Because, I mean, hell, Le'Veon Bell, and I don't know how marijuana affects him, but he said he would smoke before games and go 2 touchdowns, 150 yards. Because you just do the rhythms of these things so often that there's muscle memory involved, and it allows you to just go through it, even if your brain's not working, even if you're short-circuited entirely. The idea that Richard Jefferson, he's on the court, and he's articulating for you, yeah, I've trained all my life for this moment, and now it's arrived, and I want to be on the side of it, I don't want to be near it, and I've forgotten all of my training.
What I'm amazed about the most is the relief he found in LeBron clearing out that side, so Richard Jefferson had there was no way he was going to be a part of the play, and he found relief in that. You would think that his entire career and all his training would lead up to, hey, don't clear me out, I want the shot here.
Oh, he's shooting a three.
Good. They've called a play that doesn't involve me.
Oh, he's shooting a three.
It's amazing.
There are five guys on the court trying to decide the championship, and one of them is saying, I don't want to be a part of these festivities. Can you just involve me in the parade when you guys have handled it?
And please, God, don't let my guy double. Please. Stay right next to me.
How did the group sleep last night? Chris Cody, because there are two things that happen when you start emotionally investing in this nonsense. It affects you in ways that are not reasonable. Stugatz, I saw the room walking around here haunted when the Celtics were coming back from three games down.
Right.
And the way they lost game six, I saw a whole lot of people, oh, shit, the country's about to laugh at our fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And it is funny that you invest that way enough with something so silly to have fear and emotion that affects your sleep or a wiring that happens when you win 111, 108, and now watching, you're snorting 90 minutes of highlights after the game because you want to hear what everyone has to say about everything.
But I have to think, if you're a Heat fan, you slept well. You might have consumed the post game, but the post game felt good to you last night.
I would imagine there's a wiring involved, though. Like, my guess is you're just wired. You go to bed wired.
I'm not going to sleep. I watched SportsCenter, I think, twice on repeat last night. Wow. Just when this is a big finals game, I just love just give me SVP. I'll watch it three times if I need to. But I didn't go to sleep till almost 2 a.m. last night. Just because, like, I just want to consume it all.
Roy, did you turn off your television after game one of the Stanley Cup final?
I was at the Panthers watch party at the arena, so I just walked out angry, not happy.
So a normal night.
We're talking about last night, though.
last night, I was at a friend's house.
Did you even watch the game?
No, I was at a friend's house and drinking and saw the game.
And the game wasn't on at your friend's house?
Yeah, it was on. It was on.
Yeah, but you weren't watching.
I was drinking. Shocked. I was just shocked.
Making notes, Panthers notes, because he's covering the game. Yeah. A lot going on, Dan.
Yeah. I'm worried about tonight, actually. I'm worried about this Panthers game tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't want the smoke?
I want the smoke, but I'm just worried about this game tonight, really.
I don't think I want the smoke, and I'm just worried
must
about
win?
This game are things that can coexist. You are Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Dan Le Batard.
I don't think in 2021 I can get away with my Michael Irvin radio show impression.
No, probably not.
Stugatz.
Pop, pop, pop. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Kev.
That's okay. Kev. I think that's still okay. I think you can do
that. Pop, pop, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Kev.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We will get to Stugatz's weekend observations in a moment, but this is legitimately an interview that has been 3 years in the making. A horrifying video. One of my worst nightmare fears. Everyone tells me the whales have no issues with us, that the only way that a whale will end up putting you in its mouth is if it's been a terrible mistake. And Julie McSorley and Liz Cotriel they survived what I'm going to call a humpback whale attack that may have been inadvertent, but in November 2020, they were out in the water, and it looked to me like a whale breached the water and ate them. and spit out their kayak or whatever, their canoe. But it looked to me like two human beings had just been consumed by a giant whale that made a terrible mistake, as I said. Not interested in eating human flesh, but clearly consumed these two people. So thank you, Julie and Liz, for joining us. Before we get started on what the experience was like, Liz, let's start with you. Can you tell me just how much experience you had in the water at that point, and if you had any trepidation whatsoever about the fact that you were going this close to whales breaching the water?
Zero experience. And my really great friend right here talked me into going out into the water because I'm usually not in the water, in the ocean for sure. And she had gone out the day before, so with her husband, and she said, oh, you got to come. Let's just go. Just go. So I gave in and I went, and it was very surreal. There were tons of people out there, lots of whales, and I got really comfortable finally, and it was nice. I mean, I was enjoying it at that point, but I'd never been out in the ocean with whales.
And what was your level of fear before you got to the enjoyment? Like, once you see what's happening out there, 1 to 10, how afraid were you in this as an adventure?
8, maybe.
Okay, and is it because you're fearing that?
Just they're monstrous, and I just didn't know, you know, what to expect. You know, they're, when I got out there, I saw so many of them breaching and, you know, all of that, that I just was worried that we were going to get too close to one.
Julie,
but yeah,
I'm sorry. Forgive me for interrupting you. You were saying?
My fear was pretty high.
Julie, you were soothing her fear. What kind of experience did you have before doing this?
Well, I don't go out very often. We didn't have this double kayak my husband got me. So my husband and I had been out the day before, and there were multiple whales out, just, you know, probably a dozen or more whales, even close enough into the marina where they were swimming between the boats. So it was beautiful. There were dolphins and otters and seals all around. And they got fairly close to some of the boats, but we tried to stay back far enough away, and it just seemed like the whales knew, you know, they swam around things and they knew where things were, and it didn't, you know, there were all kinds of other people out there on paddle boards and kayaks, and we were farther away from them than most other people. So, you know, the kayak's pretty stable in the ocean normally. So I assured Liz that nothing would happen and kayak would not dump over and we'd be pretty safe. So
were you okay?
Little did I know.
On the first day, were you okay without fear or the first time that you went out? Because the whales are breaching, correct? And they're, never mind ending up in one of their mouths, they can breach and just land on you, correct?
Exactly.
Right. Yes. I was not close enough for that to happen the first day. And even the second day up till it did happen, we tried to stay back. The whales, when they breach, they come down and they leave a slick in the water. It kind of looks like an oil slick, and you can see where that was. So we got in the habit of paddling to where that was so that we knew the whale had moved on from that place. So we were trying to be safe that way. But in this particular case, the whale swam back around.
Liz, can you tell me then what happens next? You're in the water for how long before what happens?
No, we probably were out there half an hour, and I had the paddle, and I released the paddle, and I had Julie's phone around my neck in a water case. And so I was taking snapshots of the whales, trying to anyway. And I got really comfortable and more relaxed. And I was just surprised at how close the whales were coming to people, you know, just, whoa, you know, it's like, whoa, that was close.
Yes, you thought that. And you, at what point were mother bleeping your friend Julie at like, when did that happen?
That was afterward. No, I didn't. That was after we were done. I said, did that really happen? No, I was having fun. She had the paddles. I had the camera. So we were watching the two whales, like Julie said, and following them, and we lost one of them. And she had to go to work, so we were about ready to come back in, and we stopped just to watch to see where the second whale went. And little did we know, that was underneath us. We were sitting on a bait ball. So as the whale came up, the fish were crackling against the side of the kayak. And I knew at that moment, something's going to happen. And it's going to happen right now because these fish were jumping out of the water. And sure enough, it came up like this and then down. And I was looking in the upper mouth and she was up higher. So she had both paddles. I had the camera and it was on. And we just slipped right out of the boat into the mouth because we were sideways.
Did Julie make it to work that day or a little late?
Yes, like she did.
You tell the boss I was eaten by a whale.
Did your boss believe you? Yeah, exactly. I mean, what happened?
Got a whale of a tail, you know what I mean?
Right. Sounds like a whopper.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So my husband and I are physical therapists and we run our own clinic. So I was supposed to be at work about noon and this happened about 10:30. So the funny part about it was the keys to the car that we had fell into the ocean. And it took a while to figure out how to get back even to the house. But I did make it to work a few minutes late. I called in and told them I'd be a little bit late. We were dumped into the water by a whale. We didn't know at the time that we were actually in the whale's mouth, closed up in the whale's mouth till we saw the video, because the whale's mouth is so huge. It just felt like we were in a wave tumbling in the ocean. And I knew that a whale had come up and dumped us in the water. And I thought that, you know, we're worried about coming up under the boat, trying to get around the boat, getting air. That's all I could think about is getting up to the surface. And I thought maybe the whale had drug us down deep, so that I was worried about drowning, basically, more than anything. But I didn't know till I saw the video and saw us slipping into the whale's mouth as the mouth closed, saw my arm. You can see my arm outside of the whale's mouth and the paddle outside of the mouth as we go in. It's very, very clear. And the people around that watched us thought we were dead. So it was kind of it was more scary after the event than during the event, actually.
Julie, what was it like in there?
It was just, I don't know if you've ever been like body surfing in the waves or surfing. It's just, you tumble like you're in a washing machine. Just like it was crazy.
How much would I have to pay you to go back, Julie?
Oh, I'd go tomorrow.
Get out of here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I would stay probably in a whale watching boat when it comes to when the whales are that close. But I would kayak out in the ocean anytime.
Julie, why do you say that it was worse after than it was during?
Because I didn't know what was happening when it was actually happening. I thought we were just dumped in the ocean. And so once I got up to the air and knew that I was okay, I was fine. But it was just getting, you know, you think when you're in the water, you think about what safety, what do I do? Where's Liz? And getting a breath. And once you got that, you're fine. But afterwards, when I saw the video and saw what actually happened and that we were actually in the whale's mouth and it could have gone a lot worse, you know, that's when I realized how dangerous it was and how close of a call that it was.
Liz, how long were you in there and how long did it feel like you were in there?
Well, when the whale's mouth came, like looking at it, it was really close. And I looked like I put my arm out like, ah, and you can hear me scream in the video. And it comes down, we slip into the water. First of all, I thought it was going to get crushed. And then we slip in the water and we had life vests on. And I was like, now I'm going to drown. But you had just enough time to grab some air. And I thought, I don't know where I am. How do I get up? How do I get out of here? And so I started to panic a little bit instead of staying calm. But I think I don't know, Julie, I think it was about 13, 15 seconds. And then I popped up, but I didn't know where I was under there. It was like I was in a tidal wave or something. It was just, fish were floating by and I was like, ah, you know, I was just really scared at that point. I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Do you guys ever find yourself at like a cocktail party and somebody else is like telling some exciting thing that happened to them involving the ocean and yours is just such a better story? And you find yourself, you're like, you know what? I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to be the person like, oh, I was eaten by a whale.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, it happens.
They have
all
pocket aces. They do. Right. Yes. For life.
And people who know us, they usually say, do you know what happened to her? You know? And then you go into the whole story.
Julie, can you tell me, did it feel like more than 15 seconds or is that what it felt like?
Oh, Yeah, I mean, it was definitely one of those occasions where time stops and you feel every second. You remember everything about it. So it was really quick, but then you remember everything about it. So it's one of those times where you're kind of like your life flashes before your eyes kind of moment where you just know everything that's going on around you and you're thinking a lot of things in your head and you remember everything. So it felt a lot longer than it was.
Liz, at any point were you able to have in the panic the conscious thought of, I right now am in this whale's mouth?
I didn't know, like Julie said, I wasn't sure I was in the mouth. I knew that we had slipped in and I was down. I just felt like, you know, how am I going to get up now? And I didn't know how far the whale went down. So then she popped up and then I popped up right next to her, right on upside down side of the kayak. And people were going, oh my God, you were in the whale's mouth. You really were in the whale's mouth. And that's when it registered that we were in the whale's mouth.
Julie, any smells? And was it dark in there?
It was definitely dark. I wish, going back, I wish we could remember those details, because now that we know that we were in the whale's mouth, I wish I could remember the smells and the sound thing. But it was very, very dark, and it was just really quick. So I don't remember the smells at all. But if I look on my camera, since the video was going the whole time, and we go frame by frame, you can see in front some frames, you can see the fish that were in the whale's mouth, you can see the white of the whale's mouth, and you can see the baleen of the whale, which is kind of like the teeth of the whale, the baleen. In the photo. So it's kind of cool to go back and look at those things.
Julie, I need to clarify this. When I said, would you go back? I meant back in the whale's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think I'll stay out of there.
Okay, good.
Good. I'm glad you followed up on that. Julie, Liz, thank you for being on with us. It was worth the wait. 3 years we've been wanting to talk to these ladies. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low-price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
The alley has a bad reputation in general,
it
right?
Does.
Throughout American history.
Yeah. But on South Beach, someone's always just sitting somewhere smoking a cigarette. You can't go down an alley around here and not see someone sitting there smoking a cigarette.
It retains a pulsating heat from the night before.
You walk by some liquid that you're like, is that water? Didn't rain last night. That's definitely not water.
Avoid the liquid. Always avoid the liquids in an alley.
Stugatz.
I venture a guess that if you were to rake your tongue on the asphalt of an alley, you would die immediately.
Wow. I don't think it would be immediately, though. First, you'd contract very quickly, right before death, several sexual diseases, and then you would die.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, available for delivery. Dan, if you listen to the national media after game one, you would have thought the series was over. Altitude, dynasties, all-time great player, blah, blah, blah. But Dan, after a 111-108 victory, in game two, knotting the series at one game apiece and headed back to Miami. Make no mistake about it, the Miami Heat is what I was trying to say. I live in this city.
What happened?
I've lived
there
here for 22 years. I have been there. You're right. I live in West Palm Beach. The Heat are back. We still don't know how to cover these series. I mean, after game one, that was a talk. Dynasties, best player ever, altitude, blah, blah, blah.
You have to say something in the 48 or 72 hours between games. There's a lot.
Yeah, it's 1-0.
I mean, but we wouldn't make much of a living doing this if you just came in and said it's 1-0.
That's a good point.
Let's be reasonable about this.
No, it's a fair point. It is. You're right. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. I love a good nodding up of a series. Do you?
It is great.
Sure.
It's great, yeah.
Sure.
Nodding one up. Yep. Aaron Judge caught a ball while running through a wall at Dodger Stadium. Hope the wall's okay. Can we please stop making a big deal that Patrick Mahomes is good at softball? Thanks. I mean, Chris is good at softball.
I am.
In fact, I would say that you're better than Patrick Mahomes at softball.
I would say that's false.
I would choose you first.
You'd be wrong.
Why would you do
that? He's a keg softball player.
Not only would you not
choose him. He bats clean up.
You'd prefer to lose
the
game.
Chris can rake.
No, you'd just like to be next to Patrick Mahomes. Exactly.
Even based on skill.
Smelling him. You'd just like to smell him.
You're right.
I've seen you on Julio Jones. It embarrassed me.
I was sneaking up on him.
I know. It was very uncomfortable. You would select Patrick Mahomes and then bench him so that you could just sit next to him as the manager on the bench.
But you would agree Chris is probably the better softball player.
I would not agree with
really?
That.
Really?
Why would I agree?
Upset.
Why would I agree with that?
Mahomes was drafted in baseball.
So? This is softball.
You got a hit off Matt Latos.
Chris Cody got a hit to the opposite field, a stinger in high school off Matt Latos, who had a career ERA of 4.5.
A tip of the cap to Howard Johnson for making it to the Mets Hall of Fame. Hojo. Top five athletes.
Like now?
What do you mean?
When did that happen?
He was just inducted.
Why did he hasn't played in 25 years?
He was part of the 86 World Series team.
And I don't understand why.
It takes a minute for some people.
What has he done in the last 25 years to merit
it? Idea.
What have they?
It was him and Al Leiter, I believe. I can't believe it.
Congratulations, Hojo.
Thank you. Top five athletes that can own a restaurant chain. Number five, Mike Flanagan. Number four, Lanny McDonald. Number three, Popeye Jones. Number two, Taco Fall. Number one, Hojo.
It's a hotel.
It's a restaurant, too. I mean, when Dan and I were growing up, Howard Johnson's were restaurants, were they not?
I think they were. Yeah. I think he's right about that.
What did they serve at a Howard Johnson
restaurant?
It was like
a terrible, like an IHOP. Yeah. It was like a poor man's IHOP.
With a hotel.
Yes, with a hotel attached to it. I believe that's right. Are there still Howard Johnson's? Is that still
just the
a
hotels?
Thing? What, are there are th- still the hotels? When I feel like we couldn't find a Howard Johnson's if we traveled all over America. I feel like Howard Johnson's has gone out of business. I haven't seen one in
well,
a
he'll
very,
live forever at Citi Field.
That's
yeah.
right. Hall of Famer. Mets Hall of Famer, Howard Johnson.
Why?
I don't know why.
Apparently they went defunct 15 months ago, March 2022.
There's one in Naples.
Huh.
$66 a night.
Let's call the restaurant. Let's ask them what they got going on over there.
Here come the Jays.
Here come the Marlins.
In 2019, the Nationals signed Steven Strasburg to a 7-year, $245 million contract. Since signing that contract, Strasburg has pitched 31 and a third innings. That's all I got. It's my observation.
A disaster. What happened, Chris Cody? Why are you making a face?
I'm just like, 2019 that was signed?
Yes.
That is wild.
After they won the series. 31 and a third. $245 million.
They should have kept Harper.
Yep. Nick Cousins. Got to put that top shelf where Mrs. Moeller keeps the peanut butter. How about that? The Kirk Herbstreit. See Trent Rosencrantz Twitter beef over players I've never heard of on a 26-29 Cincinnati Red team is the oddest story of the year. Herbie. He takes his Reds very seriously. He's crushing this poor person. Russell Wilson. Reportedly, nixed a deal to the Eagles before it was finalized in 2022. Jalen, that has to hurt. Dan, we are just 9 days away from the second holiest day on J.J. Watt's calendar, Flag Day. Top five annual traditions for J.J. Watt on Flag Day.
Okay.
Nice. Number five. Unveils his brand new American flag on the front porch for the upcoming year. Number four, has his traditional meal of red wine, white clam chowder, and chicken cordon bleu. Could have went blue cheese or something.
Yeah, you could have, but it's fine. It works either way.
Takes his boat, Independence, for a spin around the lake. Two.
Is that number three?
Just gave us
that
number.
Was three. Yeah. Okay. This is number two.
Okay,
stay with me, guys.
Okay, but I think
say
you
that
said
loud.
Two.
Yeah. Say number three.
Okay. Number two.
Number two.
Moment of silence for the troops. Of course, with everyone who follows him on social media. And number one, takes his bald eagle for an extra long walk. The eagle is perched on his shoulder and, of course, wearing an American flag bandana. Its name is America.
I'm really surprised number one wasn't just stand.
Yeah, well.
Stand for the flag.
He takes the eagle for a walk.
Salute.
Watch out for the Pirates.
Yes.
An annual tradition, unlike any other, saying how great the NCAA Women's Softball Tournament is because we don't know what else to say about it. It's great, though. Here's one thing I can assure you about Ron DeSantis. That's the first time he's ever worn a flannel shirt. You agree?
Yep.
Dan, you know what the D in DeSantis stands for?
I do not.
Definitely doesn't give a shit about a single person in Iowa. Is this heaven? Not if Ron DeSantis is visiting your state. Watch the Vegas Knights for the first time Saturday night. Good hockey club.
Yeah. Yeah, terrifying.
In this week's edition of June, Dave Canales said the Baker Mayfield Kyle Trask competition is partially about respect. There's no way they respect each other.
Partially. They respect each other partially.
NBA Finals, congratulations on starting. My daughter Emma yelled last night, "The white guy with the stupid glasses is out of control." I responded, "Ah, the Zeller minutes."
It is, I'm going to argue, the greatest delight of these playoffs. Bar none. I will remember them forever.
Dan, you know what the G in Gabe Vincent stands for?
No.
Stands for grapefruits. Mike Malone, I'll address you as Michael when you win a title. Until then, it's Mike. When did Duncan Robinson learn how to take guys off the dribble? Denver, you have altitude, but we have distractions. Good luck. By the way, who the hell is Dave Corrales? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Before Stugatz, we end the segment, I simply, on a serious note, I know that we have talked a lot of Heat basketball, but over the weekend, I saw news reports that another corporation, Spotify, is laying off employees as this whole landscape changes. And I will continue to ask America to look at what these corporations did and said after George Floyd, because Spotify gave a lot of money to Rogan and Bill Simmons, and then very quietly a few years later, hey, Jemele Hill, get out of here. Understand that we gave you a platform, gave you a few million dollars so that black women would have platforms here. and lip service in retrospect, like something that they were doing at the time, but not actually committed to, just eyewash, just to, hey, we'll throw $5 million over here and don't pay any attention to, after George Floyd, we've given all our giant dollars to the older white guys, and what we're going to do after that is public relations, because Jemele Hill did not merit the it's a project of her lifetime. She's worked very hard to get there. And I don't know the details of what happened, but it breaks my heart that people don't see it.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.